Barnaby is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bukkake, y'all.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is the Spawn on Me podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a fantastic weekend. Hope you had a fantastic week. It has been a minute since we got a chance to do a show here live on twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. I have been really busy. It has been a busy month. It has been a busy couple of weeks. It has been ridiculously busy on the internet. If you've been following me on Twitter/X, you see there's been a lot of interesting energy coming my way because of things that I've said and because of our last episode featuring the amazing Alyssa Mercanti from Kotaku and our conversation around Gamergate 2.0 being an utter failure, being doo-doo and trash in all the possible ways. I do want to say we're going to have one story that is digging into that a little bit later in the 411. But I do want to start off the show first by saying thank you to everyone who's given me and shared some lovely and kind words about all the idiocy and harassment that I've been getting. It's been very, very stupid in the conversation space for a minute now. But I do want to say that I do think that for all the folks who have been listening to the show over the past decade and have been really, you know, riding for us and really been, you know, voices of truth and honesty and good in the space, it has always been nice to be able to have reasonable, smart human beings who follow this show. There are a ton of folks who are not out here. And, you know, I don't like to call people stupid because that's not nice, but there are some stupid people out here. And it is a really wild time to see just how media literacy is down, just how reading comprehension is in the dirt, and just how reactionary people are to the simplest of things without trying to feel like, you know, you're trying to learn anything. I think the internet has become a really insular place in terms of being able to find people who can do the work of being intellectually curious while also not jumping into the fields at the instant drop of a hat. I think we try to bring a nuanced perspective here on the show and try to do it through a lens of truth and a lens of honesty and a lens of knowledge and knowing. But the internet doesn't run on that. The internet runs on Duncan, and Duncan ain't good. So it's been really wild to see all of that stuff kind of transpire. But I'm going to start this show on a downer. I want to start this show talking about the good things in the space and talking about some of the fun things that I've been getting a chance to do. But the best thing is that the New York Knicks, your team and mine, only my team, because it seems like nobody else is riding for us but me, are the second seed in the NBA playoffs this year. I have dreamed. I'm putting up the Drew McIntyre picture right now. I have dreamed of this, and it happened. And the New York Knicks, as of this recording today on Sunday, the 14th of April, are your second seeds in the NBA playoffs. Jalen Brunson deserves a star on the Walk of Fame. In every city that he resides in, every city that he goes to, he deserves a Walk of Fame star. He will never have to worry about paying for a meal ever again in the New York tri-state area for a long, 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 long time. So that is pretty damn good. I am very excited, very happy. I almost spent $2,000 on some Knicks tickets. I was going to fly to New York and go to the Knicks game and see all the nonsense in there. Now I got friends in here talking about, can you feel the heat down in your soul? Look, you better not be talking about that Miami Heat. Are we playing Miami Heat? I don't know. I got to look at the standings to see who we're playing. But we might be playing the Heat. We might be playing we're playing the Heat. Oh, it's going to be a monster, murderous series right now. We have to get some revenge on that man that knocked out Julius Randle. So we have to beat the Heat to see if we can make this real. But before we get into any more basketball talk, before we get into any more discussions about anything else during this show, what we must do is get into the 411. The first story on the 411 is Fallout. The TV show is a massive hit. I got a chance to check out the show a little bit early. Shout out to our friends over at Amazon for hooking your boy up and making it that. Look, we got a chance to check out everything. I bum rushed through that whole series. I watched the whole thing super, super fast. And I've not binged a thing in a very long time. And this show has been so good. I'm not going to talk about spoilers because I know people haven't seen it yet. It's still early. But for a TV adaptation of a game, I think without blowing any smoke, I think this is probably my favorite adaptation of a game into a TV show or a movie. And I was super high on The Last of Us. Last of Us is still extremely good. I think that show did a fantastic job of like laying out the kind of analog of the world and doing what they do with the lore and all those things. And Pedro and Bella were brilliant at what they did. But man, Fallout is so good. So good. It's one of those shows that I was like, man, I want the writers in the Fallout TV show to find some way to connect deeper with the teams at Bethesda so that they can incorporate some of the way that they tell stories into the game world and into game mechanics, because it felt like every story that you got a chance, like every origin story, every kind of like side task that people were doing, all felt like it was really well incorporated into the world in a way that we haven't seen before, while also doing the biggest amount of fan service with the set design, the costume design, and everything in between, where that whole thing was like crispy from top to bottom. Like, it's never been something where I've had a chance to see, you know, something come out like this and automatically just understand that, like, all of it is good. None of it was bad. I didn't see any moment in that whole show, in the 8 episodes that played, where I was like, yeah, this is kind of okay. This is decent. This is all right. It's like, you know, oh, it could be better. X, Y, Z. Like, there was nothing in that show that didn't just scream quality and didn't say, we took a lot of time to pay attention to why Fallout is dope. Like, you know, power armor and all that stuff was there. The cast of William Goggins? William Goggins? Like, playing that character of the ghoul. So good. Like, It like plays into so many ways that you would think you'd want a show to really kind of like nail it. And it feels like they did all of that and then some. I am so excited for a season two. I think that this is definitely refueled my love for Fallout. Like, I'm a big Fallout fan, but you have to also, like, think about your favorite Fallout moments and why those things are important to you, while also thinking about not only the way the story is being told, but get you excited for the potential of what Fallout 5 is eventually going to be. I think, and I hope, because Bethesda did a really interesting thing with Starfield. I think Starfield landed in a really cool spot, but they were very grandiose in the way that they talked about it. We had these ideas that they were going to really turn everything on its head in terms of the expansive world and, you know, how they kind of did everything. But I don't think that I don't think Starfield really did what we had hoped from a sci-fi perspective. I think No Man's Sky still is a better sci-fi exploration game than Starfield was. Because Starfield didn't really land... Starfield landed the storytelling bits, but didn't land the game bits in a way that I'd hope. Fallout already has a really good structure and a really good ethos of and lore. And you can see how well, how easy it would be for them to be able to expand on that thing from a gameplay perspective, looking at the way the show is doing what the show has done. So I am infinitely excited, and it's gotten me back into Fallout for sure. Like, I've been playing, I went back into Fallout 4. I've been trying to get some friends to play Fallout 76, but I haven't had time to find people to play, but I want to play some 76 again, because initially I didn't like it. I didn't feel it was good, but that game has gotten better over the past couple of years, which has been really nice. But that also has lent to, and I think smartly, the folks over Bethesda are thinking about how they can get some more juice out of that lemon. And they are saying, they're saying that there's going to be some new upgrades or improvements and getting some new content on PS5, Xbox, and PC. As reported on the 11th of April, Bethesda has revealed a bunch of new improvements and information around Fallout 4 and this long-awaited update for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and S that was originally announced in 2022. Update will be free and release on April 25th, so very, very close. It's coming up basically in a week or so. Update will include native versions of both of the newest consoles, as well as a choice to pick between performance and quality modes. Specifics for those weren't shared, but Bethesda did note you can experience up to 60 frames per second and increased resolutions is what they're going to have on there. The update will also include some new story content, including the Echoes of the Past quest, which brings the pre-war Cabal enclaves and the Fallout 4 storyline. There'll also be some previously released Creation Club content, such as various weapon skins and armor skins, including the Enclave weapon skins, the Enclave weapon armor skins, Tesla cannon, Hellfire power armor, the XO2 power armor, and heavy incinerator. And lastly, there was a Halloween workshop with 38 new Halloween decorations you can add to your settlements and things like that there. So that's great. But it has really pulled together this, like, oh man, I should go back in and play more Fallout. I mean, I miss VATS. VATS is the thing that kept me going in all of Fallout. It's the thing that I love the most, of being like, oh, I get to blow this thing to bits once you get your, you know, your smart points together and do all these things. It really was a fantastic moment for all of that together. Let's check out chat real quick. Sen Nuggy says, I'm excited to watch the Fallout show, having never played. And that was the case for Tilu, The Last of Us, for them. And they loved the game. Levstar also says, same, watching Fallout, having never played the games fully. Yeah, like, I think this is a perfect time, if you've never really played, though, to jump in. I think there are so many good moments within those storylines that it really does come together. There's been some really fun content coming out of folks like GameSpot. GameSpot put together a really nice little montage and video of some of the weirdest vaults. Because you forget that, like, you know, you're in your own vault, and then you as a vault dweller go out and into the world. But there were so many other vaults in the lore of Fallout, and all these weird things that you would go into when you go into some of those vaults, and what some of the experiments were that were happening within those spaces. It does talk to what Vault Tech was really up to in some really interesting ways, again, that you can see in the show and throughout the game worlds if you have not played them. So I won't say more about that, because that may potentially get into some spoilers about the games and the show. But man, those 8 episodes flew by. It was a blast to be able to roll through that stuff early so I wouldn't get it spoiled. But man, like, I've not seen, you know, these kind of adaptations done this well. It was really, really fun to be able to get back into that world and see the touches of violence in there that they did with the goriness, which wasn't overdone, but still kind of campy and fun. You know, the characters are really smart and interesting. and the world is just a fun world to think about, you know, in the way that they've laid it out. What does a post-apocalyptic world look like in this way, in comparison to the, some of the other stuff that we get a chance to see? Second story of the show is one in which localization has become a big topic in the space this week. Capcom came out on their Twitter page. The Capcom localization team, which is based out of Osaka, came out and shared a really long post about what is localization. And to no one's surprise, gators and people who were in that space who were worried about, you know, I'm not going to include everyone and say that they're gators, but a lot of the interesting crossover in the replies about people who were mad, like, localization has always been a kind of hotly contested thing because things are lost in translation. People who are purists are like, oh my God, what are you going to do with the original content? How are you going to bastardize the original content so much so that it is a departure from the kind of original intent from the creators? And it feels like now, with that being an overarching thing that we've seen in many, many spaces over the longest time, usually you see this conversation happen in ones around manga, and now it's kind of bubbling up into the video game space, weirdly, ironically, at the same time that Gamergate 2.0 is really popping up, and a lot of those folks are now, you know, jumping onto this other bandwagon of nonsensical madness. It has been really interesting to see how that conversation has crossed over. And it's been really interesting to see what folks are complaining about in comparison to what they have not complained about in other spaces, which I want to poke at in an instant. But I do want to read some of the stuff that's in here because I do think it's important to share in terms of the conversation. So localization team goes in and they jump into this conversation about what is localization. They say embark on a global adventure through the lens of game localization beyond mere translation. We're just diving into the art of cultural adaptation, preserving content, and inclusive storytelling. This is where people start to get mad. As soon as you say the word inclusive, then people freak the hell out. Join us as we unravel the intricacies that make games resonate worldwide. Localization isn't just about translating words. It's about adapting the game for a global audience. Again, that is a smart thing to pull away from this. They are adapting games for a global audience. Think cultural nuances, idioms, and regional flair. A good localization makes players feel right at home wherever they are in the world. Let's see. They talked about bridging the linguistic gap. They talked about the importance of context. Lost in translation, they say, as a question mark. Nah, preserving the vibe is key. Jokes, references, and even gameplay elements may need a little cultural remix. It's important to find the sweet spot to make sure players get the intended experience without feeling like something gets lost in translation. So where folks start to get really upset about the conversation here is probably across the next couple of points. And I want to read those off because those are very important. Because again, we have to take all of this into context about where we are right now in terms of the conversation of the culture in the gaming space and in media spaces. There's this whole anti-woke movement. There's this whole conversation about, you know, not putting ugly women into our games and all, and how DEI is changing content and making it worse and all this kind of stuff. So the team says, character design, this is cultural sensitivity in characters. Character design and development must be culturally sensitive. What may be acceptable in one culture may be offensive in another. Localizers play a crucial role in ensuring that characters are relatable and respectable, avoiding stereotypes and other references that could be perceived as negative in specific cultures. I've seen two or three folks already mad about this specific thing, which makes no sense. I get that folks want to be purists about everything, but also gaming is not just for you. It is for everyone. It is a thing that everyone can enjoy if you choose to enjoy it. But a lot of the folks who are the most mad are actively choosing to say any of these things that open up the space to other people, we don't want. We want to push against that. We don't want that to be a thing that we as players don't want other people to experience the games either. We will say we're not going to pay for it, but also you can't be a part of it. It's a really weird thing. Inclusive language and representation. Localization efforts extend to promoting inclusivity through language and representation. This involves adapting not only the linguistic aspects, but also addressing gender-specific language, cultural norms, and diverse perspectives. The aim is to create an immersive experience where players from different backgrounds can identify with the characters and narrative. This can be very challenging for certain languages due to grammar. So we have all of this in the mix, right? All of these pieces of conversation are in here. It shows that Capcom is thinking about a broader audience. If Capcom is thinking about how to relate some of the things that we see from very traditional spaces, sometimes in Western culture and in Western media, to a space that everyone else can then see potentially themselves in it, which I can see people automatically being like, oh my God, you got a JRPG with some black people in it, or you get a JRPG with some people who aren't Japanese in it, then this is DEI doing their evil thing that they're continuing to do, which doesn't make a lot of sense because we've seen black characters in a lot of these other spaces before. Barrett in Final Fantasy, you know, Chocobo Dude at the Fro, all those folks have been in there. Again, have they been good characters over their lifespans? Barrett, I never liked in his original version, and then he got much better, probably because of diversity and inclusion consultation, making that character better. You got wind up having a lot of the other folks in there. Even in stuff like Exo Primal, right? Like, one of the biggest things that we see in video game space, even if you think about it from a nuts and bolts minutia perspective, is voices are usually wrong. Voice actors that usually get into spaces. I've played so many characters as a black person and played those games, and you can tell immediately when the character actors or the people who are playing the voice actors are getting dialects wrong. The characters don't, like, there's like three voices and none of them sound like anyone who potentially even is remotely black or from the cultures that they are trying to emulate. These are things that happen when you don't put these things in place. And now Capcom seems to be doing the work of rectifying some of that by thinking about it in a more global sense and thinking about good ways to incorporate that stuff into the games that we play so that all of those things feel better. And now we have all of these folks, again, who are so mad about everything and want to fuss about everything. And it winds up being really stupid because it shows you again that folks really don't care about everyone getting a chance to play. Even though so many of the folks who are in these conversations will spout instantly, games have always been diverse. I saw a dude try to make the point that, well, why do you need all this DEI and all this other kind of stuff if, you know, characters from other characters that we've seen, characters from, backgrounds that are usually white are starting to get phased out in so many of these games. They said they don't have a problem with that. I saw this on a YouTube video that someone passed along because they had heard someone in the gaming industry talk about how a default white dude isn't really necessarily the main demographic in the space and doesn't need to be catered to in those ways. And they got mad and called that person racist and all this other kind of stuff while saying we as, and again, he's not a monolith. I don't think he's speaking on behalf of all white people here, but he basically was like, I as a white person am just noticing the pattern of white people not being centered anymore, or white people not being included anymore in favor of other characters from other marginalized spaces. He didn't say marginalized spaces because he's not smart enough to say marginalized spaces. So if we're going to do the thing where we're going to say all of this localization is evil, this is all part of DEI, one of the lines that people have been saying in the past couple of days has been, why don't we respect the original creator's intent? All of this stuff of localization is, which again has been a thing that people have been mad about for a long period of time. All of this localization is going to ruin all this stuff. You're going to bastardize the language. You're going to bastardize the game. You're going to bastardize all this stuff. Why don't you respect the creator's original intent? But none of this works, or none of the same energy is here when all of the other folks who have been making games that you have deemed to be too woke to pay for and too woke to support are doing the same thing. They're making a game through the lens of their creative intent. What happened to letting creators create? What happened to where's all of this energy for letting people do what they want to do? But no, if you see the character is supposedly ugly, all these supposedly ugly square-chinned women and all these woke game narratives are in the space, but you wind up not seeing the correlation here between letting those folks figure out how to make their games in the ways that they want and you not being mad about it, but you also want people to pay attention and give you respect for localization of whatever it is. When you have a ton of options in the space, you can import games if you want. You can play them in the natural Japanese if you want. Even you can do a lot of different stuff, you know, whatever language it is in. You can do the work. You can learn the language. You can do a lot of stuff to get exactly what you want. But it's like localization is a very, like Sen Nuggies is saying in the chat, localization is a very broad thing too. It's not just about woke stuff. It's like a hand gesture in America can be offensive somewhere else. It's important to be mindful of a lot when pushing your content globally. Exactly. Like, again, this is a very narrow mindset of people who are saying, if it's not for me, I must reject it. If it isn't catered to me, I must reject it. It is very selfish. Is an amazingly selfish, myopic way to look at the world. And it shows you how much people really are tied to their identity through the media that they consume. That shit is weird. It just is. It's weird. Fandom is a thing. I get it. Fandom makes a lot of sense. I understand it. People get tied to that stuff. But also, all of this energy for stuff that you can avoid or enjoy if you try. And if you can't, then you can't dump it, right? Don't enjoy it. All this thing has done is it has put a big spotlight on people who will say out loud publicly, one, stupid shit, and two, that they have an inability to be malleable. These are very rigid, stuck in their ways people. And a lot of these people are not old. But it's this thing of like, if it's not catered to me, then it has no value. And that's a thing that we have to get away from as consumers. It's a thing we have to get away from in a lot of different spaces. And the thing is, if you try to flip that in a conversation around diversity and inclusion, you then have to answer the question of, well, why are these things happening? Right? Because that same person who will say, well, we had diversity before and everyone was welcome to play and all of these things are here. But you wouldn't have, if this was actually the case, if that was real, if that was a real thing that happened and everything was equal, everything was the same, everyone felt like they had a space where they could be their fullest self around everyone else, and everyone was seen and everyone was represented to the fullest in an equal way, you wouldn't have shows like Spawn on Me. You wouldn't have entities like I Need Diverse Games. You wouldn't have entities like Latinx in Gaming. You wouldn't have entities like Black in Gaming. You wouldn't have entities like Black Girl Gamers. You wouldn't have any of those entities in the world if all of those things were true, if you did the work as a white person who was supposed, or a person who was racist, to not be racist and to give space to everybody else, or if you are a person who was really homophobic, transphobic, if you are really one of those people who were, you know, not that, and actually gave space for everyone to feel like they could be included, none of these things would be here. The conversation around diversity, inclusion, and equity wouldn't be a thing. The need for CRT, critical race theory, wouldn't be a thing if all of those things were actually true. So that means that either you are living a lie, or you are stupid, or you don't understand how the world works and has worked for a long time. We're only now seeing some of these things come to fruition because there was a need for it. If not for you, because it's not for you, by the people who were seeking it out. It's not hard. This is not a difficult thing to understand. But so many folks on the internet are not paying attention and don't have the ability to understand that that's the case. So kudos to the team, the localization team over in Capcom, for not only saying this now during a moment where gaming communities are riled up in this unreasonable, it's not fake because they believe it, but it's like a detached version of reality that we're seeing right now in gaming communities. And it's really troubling to see how detached and devoid of understanding so many people are. And it's not even like the trolls part of it. Like, the trolls are doing troll shit, but like, real human beings are struggling with this in a real way when none of these things are real issues. Let's like clear the air really quick. None of the stuff that's happening in gaming is an actual issue. And the other layer of that is, none of the folks who you're mad about in the gaming space are going away because of diversity and inclusion or wokeness or any stuff. They're going away because the industry is in a really fucked up spot right now. And that is usually a spot that is run by people who also don't look like us. So use that energy to talk to those folks, as opposed to all the people that you're complaining and fussing about and shitting your own pampers for. Let's get back to the realness of what's happening here in an actual way and stop placating people who don't want to understand real life. So that being said, shout out to Capcom for doing this work. Shout out to Capcom for thinking about this in this way. I do want to see how this actually, at brass tacks, actually shows up in the games that we're going to play, because characters over the years have always been a little bit funky when it comes from the Capcom perspective. Like, again, the black dude in Exo Primal, that was the worst Jamaican accent I've seen in a long time in a game. And I was like, man, who are the people who greenlit this? Because this is not good. This is bad. I play it every time I have it. I use it as a meme at this point because it's so bad. So I do want to see how this turns out. I do want to give them some kudos for doing the work. I do want to give them kudos for being loud on social about it, because right now there's a lot of folks online in the game space, for reasons that are reasonable, are not saying all of these people are weirdos in that bigger way. Our last conversation for this episode of Spawn on Me is, I got a chance to go back home to New York last week. It was an amazingly short trip, but it was literally like a 24-hour trip. I flew cross country on a Friday, flew right back on Saturday afternoon to go back home to Portland. But I got to spend, you know, like 5 or 6 hours at an event from the folks over at Life Camp. If you're not familiar with Life Camp runs a really dope program that helps inner city kids stay away from gun violence in their hood, and finds ways to connect with them so that they get a chance to have camaraderie, They have a chance to be in a space that feels safe. They have a chance to be around other kids and not feel like they're pressed upon by the outside world. And it's been so cool to see them continue to grow. And I was asked to be a moderator on a dope panel around social good. And I have to say, man, like it was this, if you've been watching my social media stuff, you've been watching my Twitter feed and my Instagram feed, it's been so cool to share some of those moments. Beanie Siegel was there, Shameik Moore, who played Miles Morales in the Spider-Verse movies, was there. Havoc from Mobb Deep was there. It was a star-studded event, but it was really great because I got a chance to, one, go home and get that good New York energy. But the biggest part of it was in the gaming industry, we do a lot of talking about the bad stuff. You know, I was getting a chance to do this in the middle of being bombarded by hundreds of people telling me I was fat and ugly and stupid and a retard and all this other kind of stuff. Because of the show that we did about Gamergate, right? And it was really amazing to go back to a space and understand what all of this is about. Spawnomy was started so that those kids could see someone doing something positively, doing something professionally with quality, so that they could potentially be in the space that I'm in. I've been very lucky to have so many opportunities in my path over the past 10 years. And they now get a chance to do some of that as well in the work that they get a chance to do with folks over at Life Camp. And it was just so great to see so many young kids who were smart and interested in what does it take to become a person in the gaming industry and what does it mean to, you know, hold your head high and be a person of color and showcase that you are, you know, just as brilliant as everybody else. And it really did bring back into focus why I do this work. It really brought into focus that there are tons of people who care in this world. There are tons of people who actually are putting their own lives on the line every day to make sure that the next generation of players and young men and women are going to be okay in the circumstances that they live in. And that was a needed moment. You know, when you have lots of people down in you for living and existing, I've been through it many, many times. So like that stuff runs off my back like water at this point. It doesn't really get me down. It doesn't really make me mad. It doesn't make me upset. It makes me sad for those people, but it doesn't really affect my mental state. It doesn't hurt my emotions. But what does lift them up is when I get to see people who actually are doing something with this life. It really put into focus that when, you know, if you're a person who's out there right now and listens to our show and you are a person who's getting crapped on from somebody, or you've said a thing on the internet and you get dogpiled and all this other kind of stuff, and you're doing good work and you're trying to be a good person, know that there are other people out here who are doing the same thing. There are other people out here who are actually spending time living a life as opposed to talking about it online and talking about it shittily online and trying to bring you down and trying to make you feel like you aren't worth anything or any of that stuff. There are people out here who are doing the work. And that's what makes the video game industry dope. That's what makes the hobby of video games dope. There's a kid who left that event with $15,000 in his pocket for winning a game of 2K. And I posted a picture of that, and somebody tried to clown it because the outfits that the folks were wearing, look, they had orange jumpsuits on. It's like the colors of their brand. And sometimes, many times, orange is the color of folks who are incarcerated. And it was a black dude too who said this, and I was like even more annoyed at that because I was like, come on, man, like, if you're going to attach these young kids and those adults who are doing that work immediately to the worst thing that can happen to you in that space, which is jail and incarceration, then that tells you a lot about how you are as a human being. That tells everybody around you that you, as a person, could have taken a moment to be inquisitive and be like, oh my God, this is a cool thing that people are happening, because this is the thing that's moving the needle. This is the thing that's actually making the world better in a very small way, but it is. And to attach negativity to that says a lot about who those people are and not about me or the folks who were in that video or those beautiful, wonderful kids who were trying to be better in this world and try to figure out a way to get out of the hood and try to figure out a way to make this world and their lives better. So I want everybody to remember that when you leave this episode and you turn this episode off and when you go back into the internet and you see the yuckiness and the grossness of it, there are tons of people inside this industry, on the periphery of this industry, who care about human beings in a real profound way. The internet is a whole other demon. The YouTube space is full of toxicity, and all these folks who are grifters and all these folks who are grifting for the dollar to make a mean video about someone they don't know to make themselves bigger and to earn a couple of dollars in their pocket aren't the folks who are moving the needle. They are not contributing. They are not actually doing anything except being for themselves. And it's important to have people who are doing the work, who are making the space better, and who are actually, you know, thinking about someone else besides themselves. So on that note, we're going to get up out of here for episode 512 of the Spawn on Me podcast. I really do want to thank you all for rocking. It has been a very inconsistent couple of months in terms of content. I'll be honest, the gaming industry has not been fun to talk about for a long time. The games haven't been hitting in the ways that I've been hoping, even though I'm playing some stuff in For Embargo that a lot of people have been thinking about in a real way and, you know, gotten some trouble talking about over the past couple of weeks and episodes. But I do want to say, again, it makes me really happy that Spawn of Me has continued to kick it and be loved by so many folks. Everywhere I go, I hear from people about how important the work is that I get a chance to do, how, you know, much this has elevated the conversation in gaming in a lot of different ways. And I know I get dragged a lot for being very opinionated about the world in a lot of different ways, and I'm fine with that. I don't mind that at all, because people who are really opinionated with honesty and truth, we are the folks who are still moving in a lot of these spaces. And it's really because of all of you at home for being here for 10 years or wherever you found us at whatever point, for being here and sticking with us. So please go remember to subscribe to the show. Make sure that the feed is still refreshing on your end. You may need to unsubscribe and then resubscribe to the show to make sure you're getting the feed properly updated in the ways that you need to. Please put some reviews on those on any podcast platform that you listen to the show. Make sure you're checking out the show in video format on Spotify. This will probably go up late on Monday afternoon. But again, massive love to all of our friends in Chicago, all of our Chicago residents, everyone who rocks with the show, and everyone who is really, again, trying to make the world a little bit better. So with that being said, we're going to get up out of here for episode 512. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Wash your hands, wash your butt. Make sure you're giving people love. Make sure you're checking out the playoffs, because the playoffs are coming up right around the corner starting next week. And go be a person of worth out here. Go do some of the work. Go spread some love. All of this hateration and holleration in this dancery is boring, it's childish, and it's no one is giving it any actual energy, because we don't believe it. No one is really giving this any energy, because we know it's all trash and garbage. Go be somebody of worth today. Go make the world a little bit better. I'll see you all in a little bit. Have a wonderful week. Peace, and we up out of here.